This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
The Escape Pod on Joy and via podcast at joy.org.au/escape pod.
Well, good afternoon, Melbourne. You're in the Escape Pod on Joy 94.9 with Joe Pryor. Mark Adams is making a special appearance. And of course,
here you are.
And we've got a special guest, which we'll be introducing momentarily once we've discussed our week. What have we done this week, Mark?
I've mainly been studying and working, so it's not a really thrilling week, but it was nice to have that extra day off.
So you're a fan of having this quite controversial public holiday?
Well, not necessarily a fan of it, but I do appreciate the fact that it's there. And if it's going to be a public holiday, make the most of it, as far as I can see. And really good to see all the people from Perth here. They're in a great frame of mind. They're really friendly. I've had about 12 different people stop me in the street and tell me they're from Perth, which is really quite lovely. And people are just happy to be here because there's apparently some sporting event, which I'm not quite really onto, but that's happening today. And lots of people looking like they're having a brilliant time. And I've heard that a lot of food and beverage traders are up 50% on this time last year.
Yes, I think
so. There's a lot of people spending some money, having so much fun. And welcome to Melbourne if you're listening from Perth, or if you're here in Melbourne, here for the game from Perth, welcome. And we're so glad to see you and really thrilled that you're splashing all that money around. Good for you.
We do. We love the cash from the West. And the week before, of course, we had all the lovely visitors from South Australia, and they were delightful. You know, they were really keen to discover parts of Melbourne. I was doing an awful lot of assisting people with directions on the street in the city and around 3121.
Right.
So they definitely got out of the city grid, which was nice.
I live in St Kilda, so there are a lot of eagle scarves fluffing about around my neighbourhood. Of course, a lot of accommodation and people going out and having fun in St Kilda. But just welcome to town, and it's good to have Melbourne feeling so springy and after that long, cold winter that I think everyone got a bit
well,
sick
get
of.
Ready. I think we could be going back to it midweek. But
as long as we have a lovely long weekend this weekend, I think that we can probably adjust for a couple more days before we hit summer, which is apparently it's going to be long and hot. So
and it's a good
to
idea to, you know, it's an opportunity to trial some summer outfits that you've been thinking about over winter. You know, you can just see if they work or not. Give them a trial run.
Yep.
You know, it's always good to test.
Take the tags off.
Test drive the wardrobe for summer.
So what about your week, Jo? What was going on in your world?
I had a busy Melbourne-based week, I must admit, and did my best yesterday to contribute to the hospitality industry with regards to our public holiday that we needed to have.
Mm-hmm.
So nice long lunch yesterday, which was divine, with friends. And you're right, you don't often get to do it anymore on a Friday. Once upon a time, Friday was Poets Day, and everybody left the office at 12 o'clock and didn't come back until Monday morning.
But exactly.
Life's not like that for people anymore.
No, fringe benefit tax. Isn't that Paul Keating?
Yeah, that was Mr. Keating. But, you know, it was delightful to have that time. I'm not sure that I agree with it. I think
people need to work and be productive.
I'd like a public holiday for the opera. And maybe we should have one as well for you know, the other performing arts, and we might have one for sculptors and things like that if we're going to have one for people who chase balls.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. I know a lot of traders who rely on the weekend, and they're not happy because they're going to take all of their revenues and throw them at penalty rates for the day, but they need to be open anyway. So they're basically open for no reason, but they can't afford not to be open, and they're not overly happy. So it'll be interesting to see where the coins do fall.
I wonder if we'll be doing it this time next year.
Yeah, very big question. Really interesting comments. I know that Malcolm Turnbull, in his passive-aggressive, smarmy way, was on a tram.
Are you talking about the new Prime Minister?
The new Prime Minister at 7:30 in the morning on a public holiday saying it's eerily quiet. I don't know what cleaners he was hoping to see at that hour of the morning on a public holiday, but it's not a normal thing for trams to be full at that hour.
You could have seen me doing my yoga, although now that I'm home and I've got all of my luggage back. I don't have to do it in the nude anymore. So
no, but I think
it's not quite the same.
Our new Prime Minister was having a bit of an oblique slur at our Labour Premier. But yeah, it's not common for trams to be full on public holidays at 7:30 in the morning.
Do you know what's not common?
What's not common, Joy?
Our guest in the Escape Pod today.
Because
you
no,
are,
she is certainly not.
You are listening to Joy 94.9. We are the gayest station in the nation. And this is the Escape Pod, the weekly travel show with myself, Joe Pryor, and we've got another member of the team in today, Mark Adams, mm-hmm. who's been kind of missing in action. And our special guest today is Dawn Cleary. Dawn, welcome to the Escape Pod.
Hello, thank you very much. And thank you very much for inviting me back again.
Oh, it's good to see you, Dawn. We've had you on before. And we were talking about P&O Cruises last time you were on. You spent how many years working?
Can I just correct you there, Mark?
Sorry.
Cunard.
Sorry, the quality version.
P&O were my opposition.
Well, Cunard is the absolute pinnacle of cruising,
yes.
isn't it?
Yes.
So how many years were you with Cunard, just to recap?
I was with Cunard for 5 years. My husband was with them for 8 years.
Fantastic. And you're now doing something completely removed from cruising. What are you up to now?
Well, now I have been very much involved in the hospitality industry over the years. And I was always very much interested in helping people and assisting people, but more on a sort of mental level as opposed to the physical. Mm. And I've now actually started my own intuitive counselling business here in Melbourne, which I operate over the world, which is lovely because a lot of Melburnians do travel, and I've got about 6 clients at the moment that are actually based overseas between Abu Dhabi, Dubai, London, and I've got a call on Monday from Curacao, so it's quite interesting.
Oh, Caribbean.
Yes.
Okay, so this is a huge departure from what you were doing before, but obviously you can travel from your desktop to get your work done.
Yes.
So walk us through that concept.
All right. Well, it's quite frightening at the beginning because when you give up a full-time position, I was working as a hospitality trainer for quite some time in Melbourne and decided because of the change with the education system here that I needed to start thinking about what I was going to be able to do and also be able to integrate it with travelling to meet with overseas and assist with overseas relatives.
Right.
And this was something that was very close to my heart. And I know you say it's quite there's quite a gap between the two industries, but obviously I've always been working with people since I left college at 17. So I think you pick up along the way as you go and find your interests.
Which brings us to what we're really going to be talking about through the course of the show is that you have obviously come from the UK.
Yes.
And Australia is now your home.
Yes.
But you do have familial connections back in the UK, and this is a really important topic for people to be talking about. We're in such a global world now. People live as expats or they migrate, but that doesn't mean all of their family come with them. And I think this is a thrilling topic to talk about, and it's a complex topic to talk about. But what happens when you make the permanent shift, and how do you manage those at home? And I understand that you've got aging family at home.
And you're an only child, aren't you, Dawn?
That's right. So it's like double whammy for my mother.
Right.
But you've got to understand also, Mark and Joe, that I left home in the late 70s. I decided I didn't want to stay in my home college in my local town. And so I went down to Bournemouth in Dorset. And from there, my first position was offered in central London. So I was working in London at 18 years of age and didn't return home. So I haven't actually been based back in my hometown of Buxton in Derbyshire for many, many years. So my mother actually says now to this day, and she's 86 this year, she really felt as though she lost her only child back in the 70s.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes. But she's never curtailed me or stopped me. I think what was the most dramatic thing was when I took her out for a gin and tonic lunch in Surrey and actually said to her, oh, we're emigrating to Australia. And it was just the look on her face as if to say, oh, well, it'll just be another trip and she'll be back. And I actually did think it was just another trip. I didn't really look into emigrating properly.
Permanently, yeah.
No. It was just really, I think I was doing a bit of pacifying to my husband at the time.
Right. So what you moved to London when you were quite young.
Yes.
And so when did you first move abroad from the UK?
For my first place to live abroad, probably be in the 1980s in New York.
That's right.
Yes, when I was based with Cunard. Mm. So, yes, and
so now that you've got your mum living so far away from you. And obviously there are major anniversaries and events like Christmas and birthdays that you sort of get used to missing, or you make a special event to travel over and participate, but you can't do it every year all of the time. With a single parent that you have that's getting older, what are some of the things that you have to manage from long distance?
Well, one thing that I do is I have over the years made very, very permanent contacts with doctors, hospitals.
Because it's anything. The medical thing, it's that, isn't it? That's what you worry
concern.
About.
Mm. My mother's doing very, very well for her age, but
well,
she's had, you know, she's had a few sort of incidents with returning to hospital over the last 3 years. And that's when you're there, you can actually see how it does tug at the heartstrings. Because my last trip to the UK, or no, actually not my last trip, my third last trip away to the UK, I arrived in January from New York and ended up staying 9 weeks, which wasn't anticipated at all. I actually thought that I would be returning here after 3 weeks, so a 4-week total away. But that wasn't to be, because my mother was unwell, and she, you know, she had to go through a lot of different scans and blood tests and everything. And I just decided that I was going to stay there and be with her. But that really hit home to me then, for the very first time, actually, that things were actually going a little bit more downhill, and I needed to be more aware of the flexibility of going backwards and forwards. And I actually did return three times in that year alone.
So that's an awful lot of travel. And how do you communicate with the doctors that are treating your mum? Are they happy with?
Yes, they're very, very good. Because I've obviously legally, you know, I'm the only child, so you know, obviously I got the legal system to make sure that
power
I was first point of contact, power of attorney. That's right, Mark. And I make sure that I go and visit them and make them aware. But of course, the same thing happens. They change. They move on. So then I have to start from the beginning again and go through the whole scenario.
Re-establish the relationship.
Re-establish the relationship, yes. So, but she's had great care, absolutely fantastic care. And, yes, the solidity of being here, and also it's almost like having a foot in both camps. You've just got to be able to be flexible.
Joy 94.9 has a huge range of programs available for podcast. In fact, Joy is one of the largest podcasting communities on community radio. If you haven't checked out our podcasting service, you're missing out. Visit joy.org.au, click on the podcast tab, and you'll find a list of Joy programs regularly sharing the best interviews, news, and reviews. There's tens of thousands of hours for you to enjoy, so check it out now. joy.org.au.
You are back in the Escape Pod on Joy 94.9, and that, of course, was Toto with Africa. I'm not sure if they've ever done another song, but it's an amazing song.
They may or may not have.
Everybody knows. Now, Dawn, why did you choose that song? Because it is your choice.
It is. I think it's got very, very happy memories for me, Africa. I did an African trip on the QE2 when I was working there, and we took a 4-day trip with another 8 crew members. And, it was a great experience. And we actually went what we call to the raw. We didn't stay in 5-star hotels. We actually went with a gentleman. Well, he wasn't a gentleman. He was actually, I think he was telling us that he had been a tribesman originally, but he'd come into society and was actually driving what we called a jungle bus. And in those days, it was fantastic, because when we actually docked, you were given the opportunity to either go with a Mercedes and a rifle and enough room for 10 of you to sit in a Mercedes sedan estate and told what to do if an elephant or a rhino came across you, or you could take what we called the jungle bus with the black stripes down the side. So we took the jungle bus because we obviously wanted to consume some alcohol along the way.
Refreshing beverages.
Yes. But it has very, very fond memories of Africa. I haven't been back. I don't think I've actually been back since. We were there. We were in Tsavo and around East Africa. So, yes, it was a lovely experience. And it's good to have done those things when you're actually able to go out and do that, whereas now everything's so much more curtailed and,
right,
you know, rules and regulations.
And risk of lawyers running around.
Yes.
So we were talking, before we listened to Toto's Africa,
yes,
we were talking about the fact that not everyone's getting on a plane to travel for a vacation or for business. Oh. Sometimes we're getting on a plane, and more often, I think, because we need to get to another destination where we've got a relative that we love very, very much, but who is getting older, and or who's sick or frail in some way. And Dawn, you've certainly been doing that with your mother in the UK. Can I just ask, I mean, I don't like to put a dollar value on things, and it sounds a bit, it's a very personal question, mm-hmm. but how do you afford all of the extra trips? I mean, like you said, you had in 1 year to organise 3 trips to the UK. I mean, I know, and we have great specials, and it's a shame Russ is at the moment in Rome and can't tell us what the latest special is, but it's a lot of extra money to pull out of the family budget.
Well, it is, but somehow you find a way, and it does get trying because you're really living two lives, one in Melbourne and one overseas, and obviously the exchange rate as well to deal with.
We don't talk about the exchange rate at the moment.
but I think what we've got to do is, what I do tend to do is, because I could live with this every day of my life, because I don't know when I'm actually going to get the call, you know, to go over and something's happened. It's not just my mother. My mother's 86 this year, my uncle's 84, and my aunt's 81. And they don't actually have any children. So
goodness, so, you're,
so you
are
the caretaking role.
Yeah. I have the caretaking role. So they're very independent and they do tend to not bother me too much. But I think what you've got to do is, when you're in this situation, is put a positive note on it and say, OK, what can I do on this trip? What can I build into the trip? And I do, I have over the years built up a huge network of people, you know, friends and clients. And I think somehow, you know, you stay in some, I stay in some beautiful places. They're not always 5-star hotels, but I'm very, very fortunate to have some very, very successful friends that have done quite well. And I tend to, you know, go out with them and stay with them, and I'll buy them dinner, and I'll probably stay with them for 3 nights, and I'll blend it in. Because of course, when you do get to see these elderly relatives, it is very, very demanding once you get there.
Emotionally, it must
and
be.
And emotionally, it's very, very draining, because my mother is so elated that I'm there. I don't know why sometimes, because she says I'm just a Romany gypsy. But, you know, I know in her mind, when she sat in the chair looking at me, she is just thinking about the clock ticking, when's she going. Mm. And of course, she'll
must
say to me every 4 days, have you done a return flight? Have you done it? No, I haven't done it yet. And eventually I know one day I do have to walk in there and say, oh, by the way, I've booked my flight. And she'll go, oh, okay then. And it's fine. But I know it's not fine, but that's the way I have to deal with it, yes. But talking about, yes, it is a an issue, but you've got to make it a positive issue as well.
Yes,
you've got to make it fun.
Yep,
as well.
And you find the money.
Yeah, you find the money.
Yes.
It happens, you know. And also, I work when I'm there, you know.
Just going to ask
well, that was
about,
the next question.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go, Mark, go on, ask away.
Well, we touched when you first started talking, Dawn, about how you changed from working in hospitality, and now you've got something new and you have clients around the world. Mm. The next question was, okay, financially, it is... sometimes something that you really need to be cautious of, travelling forward and back from Europe to Australia for family reasons. But managing your business. Now, you said you were dealing with people overseas all the time. Talk us through how you manage your business when you're going to the UK to be with your mum.
Okay, well, the wonders of Skype, which are now with us. It's a fantastic thing for me.
True.
I was actually overseas for Christmas last year, and prior to that I was actually working on the phone every day talking to clients, and clients didn't even know that I wasn't in Melbourne. It was quite interesting. I didn't say I wasn't. I just said that, you know, because it was a Christmas period coming up, I was quite busy. They understood, and obviously we still wanted to discuss their lives and what we were doing together to enable them to have a better life. Mm. And they were quite happy to take a Skype call. I think the only time it fell down once, one morning, because obviously there's a time difference.
Yes.
So, you know,
yes, you must be exhausted because you're dealing with your mum and your other relatives during the day, and then trying to deal with clients.
That's right. Well, I tend to go back to my apartment about 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, okay.
After my mother's tried to, you know, offer me another gin. to get me to stay.
Your mum sounds a bit like the Queen mum.
She is. She loves her Bombay Sapphire now.
Oh yeah, good on her.
Yes, but
no tat for mum.
I'll go home and I'll sit and I'll probably stay up and watch television till about 2, which is crazy, but it's just my relaxation time because I'm with them from about midday, doing things, and not every day do they want to go out because it gets exhausting from them. So I have to keep them busy and organ. Last time I was home, I was organising, the cleaners for them. I was organising somebody to come and visit them once a week to have a chat with them because she does live with a partner, but he's also 86. So it's a little bit of a circus, but it works at the moment.
Mm. So you can run your business and
I can run my business.
Yeah, and you keep things rolling on because it's very important to be able to service clients and so forth.
Well, that's right. And there aren't many clients I don't know that won't do Skype. I mean, I have a client in Elsternwick that I speak with regularly and he doesn't have Skype. He doesn't know how to use Skype. And in the end, he said, look, I'll just call the landline. So I keep a landline there for that reason. Okay. I don't have it disconnected, So
you've got options.
All of these options you have to think ahead. Mm. Yes, that's right.
Mm.
So you have to plan a modern business that takes into account different technology platforms.
Yes.
What happens to your family here when you're gone?
Right. Well, my son's 18 now and just going through his VCE.
So there's no stress going on in your house at all?
No stress at all, no. So I was due to go back to the UK again this year because I like to really try and see my mother every 6 months, but I just don't feel it's feasible to do that at the moment because, you have got to prioritise.
Yes.
And as my mother always says to me, I've had my life. Please look to the next generation, which I've taken on board, and it is hard. And some days I do feel like jumping on a plane when she's low or she's a little bit depressed.
So you talk regularly?
We do, every day.
Okay,
every day. And I actually told her brother this 4 days ago, and he was horrified, absolutely horrified. He said, what's at the expense? And I said, no, there's not a lot of expense. No, she needs a call once a week. And I said, I don't think that's going to work. Because my mum will.
You've got
call.
A close relationship, and yes. you're concerned. You want to keep a bit of a pulse, as to how she's feeling.
Yes.
Has she had a fall?
Yes, because they are very, very clever. They're extraordinarily clever at hiding things. I went on a trip from Southampton to New York with a couple of friends and got to New York and actually rang mum and said, oh, I'm flying to Heathrow because I didn't cruise back. And she said, oh, right, okay. And I said, I'm coming to see you in 3 days. And she said, no, go straight back to Australia, go back to your son. And I said, oh, you don't want to see me? No, it's cold, it's wet, it's January, I don't want to go out, I'm not in the mood, just come and see me in the summer. So I rang her the next day, in between the shopping, but it was on my mind, and I thought there's something not right here. Anyway, to cut a long story short, I flew into Heathrow and then I hired a car and I drove up to Derbyshire, which is where they live, and walked in. And she'd actually gone from 11 stone, sorry, I'm not very good with kilos, 11 stone 6, because she's quite a large lady, down, I think she was about 7'3".
Wow.
So she'd lost a huge amount of weight and she was totally anemic. So she was obviously trying to hide this situation from me because I was so far away.
And she's on the mend now?
Yeah, so she'll never gain that weight back again. She doesn't want to, but, it's always there. You've got to be able to be very, and because I'm quite intuitive anyway, I pick up if she's telling me the porky pies.
Yes, you're in the Escape Pod on Joy 94.9. It's 26 minutes to 3. It is 30 degrees outside, which is unbelievable when you think about some of the weather that we've had. And that song, of course, was Happy by Pharrell Williams. Now, Dawn, tell us, why did you choose Happy?
Why did I choose Happy? It was very, very close to my heart. I just think when I go in to see my mother every day, I have to put on this kind of
happy
face, whatever, because you just don't know what's
happened. It is important.
Because what is happening to us today, we can deal with. We've luckily, touch wood at the moment, we've all got our faculties to do that. But a small incident to them is absolutely huge.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So when I go in some days, she'll say, I've had a letter. you know, I've had a letter, and I'll think, oh, okay, and then we'll open the letter and we'll see, you know, it's just probably, you know, a statement or something. And this was happening a lot over the last 3 years. You know, there was a pile of statements there, and she was going to pay them immediately, but they were still worrying her because she thought every time she paid them, she was running out of money, which is not the case. So now what I've just put everything into action now that it's a direct debit, that there is no worry, and that I'm controlling what's going in and out of her accounts. Because she actually at one point sat there and said, I don't think we've got much money left. And I said, no, yeah. You know,
and that's a particular thing for people of her age group, having lived through the Second World War and all that austerity and rationing. And Joe and I were talking about this actually at lunch earlier about the, you know, the different generations and how they perceive money and what to do with it and the scarcity or paucity of it.
That's right. So
and
the secret
is really ingrained.
It is very ingrained to such a degree that when you get in the car sometimes and drive off in your £150 a week rental car, which she says, how much is the car and how much petrol are you using? You understand the momentum of everything that's building in their mind.
Correct. And also when you've seen things going from 1p to £10 over your life, it just sounds like a huge amount of money.
That's right. So the secret is, Mark and Joe, is to take away any of the worry from them.
So what are the practically, how do you do that then?
Well,
really interesting. Interesting. The practicalities.
Well, the first thing, of course, was to get put a power of attorney in place, which took quite a long time to do.
Because it's different everywhere. I mean, here you can do power of attorney and for legal, and you can also do medical.
That's right.
And I guess every jurisdiction is different.
And multi-jurisdictional power of attorney is complex.
Yes, it's very complex. So I just went for the simpler option of the legal. But that took quite a long time because my mother insisted on going backwards and forwards and discussing with the lawyer what she should do and what she shouldn't do. And I think interesting when we actually got the final bill from the lawyer that actually said the amount and considerable time that was taken to honour these discussions, you know. So I thought, and when I actually rang Rosemary and said, you know, how many times has Mummy been? She said, oh, Dawn, it's got to stop. She's been in 6 times now. So I actually then said, Mummy, you know,
this costs money.
This is costing money. Let's just do it.
And a lawyer's £250 an hour minimum.
Yes, and, you know, I think she was quite gentle with her on the fee. But even so, I think, you know, I had to prioritise in the end what was important. So, yes. But then we got to another loophole because the solicitor didn't want me to be sole power of attorney because I'm not there.
Correct. And this is the thing about multi-jurisdictional powers of attorney.
Yes.
The good thing about Australia and the UK, because of our close relationship and our shared history, that there's the legal system does support it. But I know in other countries it's very complex. When I was living in the Middle East, my father had complete power of attorney over my affairs should anything happen.
Yes.
Although the UAE law superseded that because he wasn't there wasn't a UAE power of attorney. We could sign one, but because he wasn't a UAE national or a resident, then he didn't really affect control. The legal process took control of what happened to my affairs, which wasn't to disregard what would have happened to the power of attorney, but they would have circumvented things that were culturally or legally repugnant to what would have happened in Australia. So it was this question mark, because I was single, I was there on my own. My father was based in Australia and had an Australian power of attorney. It wasn't multi-jurisdictional. So there were big question marks. What if something did happen? What if I got hit by a car and I was put on
life support?
What would happen and who would have the authority to make that decision? And those questions haven't necessarily been answered. They have between the UK and Australia. How have you found working in that paradigm? Have you found there's a lot of support both sides, or there's a lot of case history, there's a lot of people who are in your position, or has this not come across your path?
Well, it's not come across my path personally, because I actually had experience of a friend of mine who actually didn't make the recommendations that her lawyer had said with her mother's inheritance. So she's had a lot of problems to deal with.
Because then it goes into intestation, doesn't
it? Yes, so even it's to the legally point determined. Where this particular friend of mine didn't have any funds to bury her mother because everything had just been seized. You know, it goes into a dormant
inheritance.
That's right. So I made sure everything was is put into place with that. But of course, things change all the time. My mother may eventually have to go into care. Mm-hmm. We hope not. As she says, she's not going into care. She's going to put her head in the oven first. But nobody's having her money. But this is the way they think.
But do you know that?
They're quite comical.
Yeah. And especially if she's healthy and independent now. Of course she wants to defend her rights as a fully functioning person with agency. Yes. And good on her for doing it.
That's right. So,
and you can't get the gas disconnected because you probably need the hot water service.
Although I have been told you can't actually put your head in the oven now.
No, you can't. Let's hope it doesn't come to that.
I'm sure not. But this is the way, you know, she doesn't want her money to go in that direction.
But then NHS is very good at looking after.
So that's another topic, really. While I was home, I actually found the best care home. Not that I wanted to go in a care home, but I've met the people. I took my elderly aunt round there as well to say, look, what do you
think? Two for the price of one.
No, it should be three for the price of one for me. I mean, I've already looked at, you know, I actually said to my mother, you know, if you did ever have to go into care, mummy, what is your chosen place? And she told me, she didn't want to discuss it anymore. I've checked the rooms out, I've seen the facilities. The only bad thing about it is, Mark, they don't have any alcohol in there.
Oh, really? Is it disallowed?
It's a beautiful home, but it's actually run by the Salvation Army.
They're just shaking tins in pubs.
So we haven't told Mummy that yet, hopefully.
You need to get her into something Catholic.
I do, that's right.
They're just drenched in booze, those people.
Here are some benefits you could gain by becoming a Joy 94.9 sponsor. Increase awareness of your product. Increase your customer base. Increase your profits so you can afford that new item you've had your eye on. You know the one I mean. Gregory sponsors Joy, and now his business is just peachy. Isn't that so, Gregory?
Yes, well, I've...
Ha-ha! Wonderful! Dial today, 1-300-JOY-949, or send your mail electronically. sales@joy.org.au. That's A-U as in A-U. Sponsor Joy!
And you're on Joy 94.9 in the Escape Pod. It's 12 minutes to 3 with Joe Pryor, Mark Adams, and our special guest today, Dawn Cleary. Now, we just played Somewhere Over the Rainbow by Israel Cam Kawiwobi, and I'm not sure if I've pronounced that correctly.
He goes by Iz, thankfully.
He does go by Iz. So he's Hawaiian.
Phenomenal.
I just didn't catch you out, really.
Yeah. Just wait till the tennis season starts and there's a whole lot of new young players I don't know.
And that song is amazing, isn't it? Everyone has a relationship to
it. Judy Garland's version of it, obviously, is stunning.
And in our community, it's a big deal.
So too is...
I thought it was quite funny, actually, when Mark mentioned Mum sounded like the Queen Mum with the gin. And I actually sat with her last time I was home, actually, and said, oh, you know, is there anything special you would like? And she knew straight away what I was talking about. And she said, yes, we need to talk about it. I need to plan my funeral. And I said, oh, well... just little things. She said, I don't want this person there and I don't want that person there. And I said, no, I'm not going to go down that road.
You can have a bouncer at the front.
I just really want to know, you know, what songs you would like. You know, where would you like? And
she had a hit list.
Yes, she had a hit list. But no, she's always wanted, I think Morning is Broken because my father had that.
Lovely, beautiful.
When he passed away. Yeah.
And Cat Stevens.
She's done very well, actually. She's been a widow 28 years, so... you know.
But she has a partner now.
She has a partner now, but he's actually her fourth partner. They've all died.
Black Widow.
Yes, that's right.
Goodness. Oh,
they call her the Black Widow. So, yeah, she's. We sat down and discussed music, and she actually said that she wanted Morning is Broken, All Things Bright and Beautiful. And I said, oh, that's a little bit boring.
I remember All Things Bright and Beautiful from school.
Watership Downs.
Yes, but then she did say, now, there's got to be something quite snazzy, hasn't there? Because she's quite a glamorous lady. And she's from the era of Judy Garland and Marilyn Monroe. So she's always loved Somewhere Over the Rainbow. So I actually played this to her and said, well, what about this? Instead of Judy Garland, why don't we? She said, yes, I like it. I didn't think she was going to like it. So when I hear it in the car now, I do get quite sad about it. Mm. But it's sort of preempted. I want her to have what she wants.
These are the practicalities of planning and working with family, living in two different places. And that's what Dawn Cleary's on Escape Pod today.
Yes.
A lot of people are expat or they've migrated to other countries or they've married spouses and they spend time in different countries. And with technology the way it is and instant communications and affordable instant communications, we're spending more and more time being close but far away. Mm. So we're talking about how that's managed, and especially when we're getting to later in life and working with older people and making sure that their cares are met. What are the number one practical things that you're finding as you go through this process, Dawn? Because it's not just your mum. You said you've got other family members as well. Is there a commonality or are they all just
They're all related. They're brother and sisters. Mm. They're all quite well at the moment. Mm. But
which is great.
Yes.
But they don't live together, do they?
But they don't live together, and they don't particularly all get on, which doesn't help my
situation.
Your
mum sounds like she's a handful when I like
she
that.
She is a total handful. She's the eldest. But no, I think the main thing is to keep every day, whenever I answer the phone or phone my mother, I'm positive, even if she's very, very low, and even if I'm low. Mm. Well, you know, we don't all have great days. And, you know, I might have had some incident happen with, you know, particularly my son's quite stressed at the moment because he's planning his future.
Yes.
And my husband's a very busy man as well. And it all comes into the pot and they all come home with all of their situations. And then mum might phone and just have one of her small little things to me is huge. So you just really have to tap back into that. So it's all, again, about having one foot in each place and being able to adapt and balance.
Mm.
Yes.
And be pragmatic and practical.
Very pragmatic and practical, and not discuss with her anything that's going wrong in my life at that particular time. Because
could that send her in a tailspin?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Because,
but I guess also when you are physically there, there are the questions that you can't dodge them. You're only there for a short period
that's
of time.
Right, yes.
So you've got to do the groundwork as you've done with the power of attorney.
Yes.
You've got to establish the relationship with the lawyer. Mm. You've got to establish a relationship with the bank. You have to establish a relationship with potential care in terms of some home help. Mm. And then also the nursing home option in terms of assisted living. You've got to make sure that you've got those answers before you get on the plane to come home.
That's right. That's right. Because all the time in the 9 weeks that I was there, you know, my son, who's 18, actually said to me at one point, you know, I think it's time for you to come home, Mum, now. You've been there 9 weeks, because every week there was something happening. And I thought, do you know, he's right. He's right. I can't just sit here because things are going to keep happening.
Yes.
Doctors and chiropodists and, oh, we need to go and visit so-and-so to discuss this. And I thought, no, I've got to put people in place to pick them up and do these things with them.
Right, or that
you know, my home is really back here now.
Mm.
You know, I need to be focused here. This is where my business is. This is where my business is established at the moment.
And your child.
And my child is very important, you know, that I'm here to support him. But, yes, it's all about balance. And, you know, a tip to give to anybody, I would say, and I'm not the most organised person in the world, and a very good friend of mine from my Cunard days actually rang me about 6 months ago and said, do you keep a bag packed? And I said, no, I'm not going in hospital to have a baby. And she said, Dawn, keep a bag packed. It's so imperative. If you get that call, you've got to catch the next flight. She says, I know what you're like. You'll be looking for this shoe or that shoe or the other.
A pair
just
of earrings.
An outfit, a couple of outfits, underwear, you know, your toiletries and shoes, and you're ready to go.
And potentially the one that you might want to wear for that final occasion.
But, you know, it's all about the psych of it, because I kept saying, oh, I don't want to do that because, you know.
It's tempt fate,
you know. But, you know, yes, I have done that now, because you need to be ready to go.
Well, we've got someone who is actually en route at the moment, and he's not travelling at all to see a relative, but our dear third musketeer from the escape pod, Russ, he can't do his rant this afternoon because he is far away. He's actually...
It'd be Russ's Roman rant.
It is, absolutely. He's in a toga right now in the Colosseum.
Being fed peeled grapes,
making sure the Christians are being eaten by the lions. But he has sent in a message, and me again, greetings from Roma. Yeehaw, such a magical city where we have explored all things Roman and papal, although I think the Pope's been away, so don't know how it's... The Pope's actually left town and Russ has come to town.
But the Vatican's still there.
The Vatican is absolutely still there. I've been blown away by artwork by Raphael, walked the Vatican and talked to the handsome Swiss guards, marvelled at the ageless Pantheon, imagined early centuries at the Forum and Colosseum, and eaten too much wonderful pasta and panna cotta and tiramisu. It's been bellissimo. Ciao for now, my friends. Enjoy sunny Melbourne. I hear this long weekend, and most importantly, have a great show. Lots of love, Russ.
Well, thank you, Russ, and we do appreciate it. Can't wait for you to come back and tell us all about this wonderful Italian...
I like how the Pope left town when Russ arrived.
There might be a connection.
I think there is. I think the Pope kind of knew that even as humble as
someone
he is...
Someone gave him a heads up.
Russ wanted his Prada shoes. I think that's exactly what it is.
You're at Joy 94.9.
You're in the Escape Pod on Joy 94.9 with Joe Pryor, Mark Adams, and our special guest today, Dawn Cleary. I can't believe Sheena Easton's coming to town. It kind of made me think a bit of the late, great Laura Branigan, but definitely book a ticket because she's a phenomenal performer, Miss Sheena Easton.
Is Laura Branigan no longer with us?
Correct, yes.
Oh, I did not know.
Yes, so that was it for Gloria.
She shall no longer be called.
Well, there is the Italian connection, though, because that was a big hit in Italy. And then she translated it into English and made it the biggest hit ever, actually. You know, so they sing the English version in Italy now, not the Italian one.
Isn't that funny?
It's an amazing, yeah. She did something. She was quite cool. I was there at Countdown when she performed.
Yeah. I did not know.
I know. Shows showing my age. But, Dawn, thank you so much for being our guest in the Escape Pod today. You've really given people some practical tips and discussed some of the emotional side of what it's like to have Melbourne as your home and have your, you know, immediate family here, but have the other family that you need to care for far
That's
away.
Right, yes. But the main thing is to keep positive.
Yes.
Positivity is the key. You know, you can get through it, you can deal with it, and whatever life throws at you, you know, you can deal with it.
Thank you so much for coming on board, and we really do appreciate you being here and being so honest about a very personal and emotional issue.
Yes, thank you.
And that's been fantastic that you've been able to share that with us. And we wish everybody who's got family
safe travels.
Yeah, that's safe right. travels, especially coming up to the Christmas period. Mm-hmm. Whether you're travelling interstate, overseas, or wherever to be mm-hmm. with people, just to enjoy those times together with the ones
you know.
You
and if you do have to go, just make it fun mm-hmm. along the way.
That's a great tip.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.